You wanted to see me, sir?
Oh, yes, Simpkins. Now, Simpkins, how long have you been a kamikaze pilot?
Two years now, sir.
2 years? And during that time, Simpkins, how many kamikaze missions have you flown?
19, sir.
Nineteen?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, let us for a moment refresh our memories about the function of a kamikaze pilot. There are various ancillary facets to the job regarding damage to enemy craft, but broadly speaking, Simpkins, I think you will agree with me. The idea is to kill yourself.
Correct, sir, correct.
Now, you will concede that I am not overstating the case unduly when I say that you don't seem to have had a lot of luck in that particular...
No, sir. I think the whole idea is rather silly, sir.
Silence, Simpkins. Silence. Your record is, to say the least, abominable. Let us just recap, shall we? 1, couldn't find target.
No, sir.
2, couldn't find target. 3, couldn't find target. 4, couldn't find target. 5, forgot headband. 6, couldn't find target. 7, couldn't find target. 8, headband slipped over eyes.
I couldn't find target, sir.
Oh, 9, couldn't find target. 10, came back with headache.
Yes, sir. The headband was too tight, sir.
11 to 18, couldn't find target. 19, got halfway there, then had to come back. Why was this?
Forgot the plane, sir. Oh.
Now, this couldn't find target theory of yours, Simpkins. I don't think you've been looking very hard.
Oh, yes, sir. I have, sir. I have been looking all over the place. Huh? But sometimes you can search for hours and not see a single aircraft carrier.
Oh, well, where exactly have you been looking for these aircraft carriers, Simpkins? I mean, for instance, I notice that you seem to have more or less ignored the sea. I would have thought the sea was quite a promising area.
I'm sorry, sir, but I stand by what I said, sir. I don't think we should be doing this at all. All this flying out and crashing into American and British ships and blowing them up, it's all wrong, sir.
Oh. Wrong, Simpkins? Give me one good reason why it's all wrong.
Well, the war finished 32 years ago, sir.
The Berkis Way was unique in terms of radio comedy. The apparent haphazard nature of its contents truly belied the amount of careful thought and consideration that went into its construction. Sketches flowed into and around each other with almost osmotic ease. And given Douglas's predilection for late delivery of scripts, this caused the two main writers, David Renwick and Andrew Marshall, considerable problems, and they began to get a little cheesed off with Douglas's disorganized approach. So much so that by Series 3, they opted to write all the shows themselves. But fortunately for Douglas, by this time, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy had achieved cult status, and he had no further need to write comedy sketches for other programs. Consequently, David and Andrew considered Douglas himself a ripe target for parody. He began to feature occasionally in the show as a new character, the mega-rich Mr. Different Adams, who expressed weird ideas like, "I see comedy as a kind of isosceles triangle." And The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy itself also came in for a little of the Renwick and Marshall revenge. Here are a couple of sample sketches, one of which featured a guest artiste, an extremely rare occurrence on the Berkis Way, but when you hear it, you'll understand why the writers just couldn't resist it.
And there'll be another edition of the television version of the book, of the play, of the radio series, of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of The License to Print Money, at the same script next week.
We're very sorry about that. But now...
A Scriptwriter's Guide to the Galaxy, by a man who would rather write Doctor Who. Starring Peter Jones as this bit.
One of the most interesting things about the six-headed omniquags of the planet Saigo Swaruldong in the star system of Grudny Vogar Actinax in the constellation of Go and Upset Another Scrabble Board Les, I need a new name, is that they have only one word to stand for all 400 million nouns, adjectives, prepositions, verbs, and adverbs. This is both a good thing and a bad thing. Bad for them, because since the word is obscene, no one is actually allowed to use it anyway. But good for science fiction scriptwriters, because it enables me to go on and on and on and on about it for 16 pages every week before we even start the story. Praying I'll get to a full stop before I keel over into this synthesizer, which I am having trouble playing anyway because the volume control seems to have got stuck.
Will somebody please stop this rattling?
Story!
But now the second half of today's Comedy Bill.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, starring Peter Jones as the book.
Somewhere in the shady part of the Milky Way, just outside a small bluish star, orbited by a few damp planets of dubiously desirable habitation, there is a tiny hole in the electromagnetic airspace. To plug this void in the continuum, the inscrutable monoliths of the collapsing star system of Radio 4 Light Entertainment occasionally employ a tiny, imperceptible device known as the Birkis Way. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy defines this as a program of infinite tedium, which gets cheap laughs by doing pathetic parodies of other, much more successful shows. Its impressions are notoriously unrecognizable. This one, for instance, sounds absolutely nothing like me. And as if that weren't bad enough, it invariably ends in a silly fashion just when you least...
No, that wasn't an unkind cut, or even a bad edit. For those of you unfamiliar with the programme, that was a typical Birkis Way ending. It was a game that writers Renwick and Marshall played with unfailing regularity and seemingly limitless variation, a game called Get the Continuity Announcer. Another example of which you heard earlier, after Douglas's 23 Gunga Din Crescent sketch. From B to C now.